And this is a group for us to go deeper in our discipleship to Jesus, in our relationship with Jesus, to look at the things that Jesus did and to follow him and do his practices that he did. That might be silence and solitude, reading scripture, prayer, giving. But we're going to be journeying together this year. Once a month, we'll be meeting together. And in between those, we'll be putting the practice that we studied that month into practice. And this is a great opportunity for you to kind of dive deeper in your relationship with God if you're looking for ways to learn more about him, learn more about yourself and your own faith, and just take ownership of your own faith. This is a great, great way to do that. I highly recommend it. It's awesome. Yeah, so basically this year, and just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a understanding, this year student leadership just looks a little bit different. We're doing two separate teams. So first one is D groups. And you can register online for that. And registration closes on October 4th. So if you go to overflowtheyouth.com, I encourage you guys to look over it with your parents and see if this is something that you want to do. We would love to have you. And Trevor and I will both be doing that together. So the second one, the second little aspect, as we kind of looked at what student leadership looks like this year, the second way that we kind of split them up a little bit was hospitality team. So hospitality team is our team that does our welcoming. You will help with setup, that's like putting the cereal bar out or helping with check-in or welcoming people, playing games. This is an awesome way to grow in just your hospitality. Is known as a spiritual gift. It's in the Bible as something that people are gifted with. And so this is something, a way that you guys can practice that gift, put it into practice if you are wanting to grow in that area, or if you feel like you're really gifted already in that area, it's a great way to do that. So it's just for you, if you guys are looking for deeper ways to serve, get plugged in. This is for both, for this one, it's only 7th and 8th graders that are able to. So if you're 6th grader, I'm so sorry. Join us next year for our hospitality team. This is an application process, so you will have to apply and be accepted onto the team. But you can apply online at overflowtheyouth.com, and applications are due on September 30th. And this does require that you get a small group leader reference or somebody that knows you really well to fill out a reference for us to read and make sure that this is a good fit for you guys. So just make sure you get on that this week. Next up, we have our small group signups. If you know you're signed up for small groups, raise your hand. Great job. If you're like, what is she talking about? I don't know what small group signups are. Basically, this year we want to just love you guys well. We realize that these group, you guys are all in different groups. We have some different sizes of groups and people, and we just want to make sure that we are loving you guys well by knowing who is here. And loving our small group leaders by knowing who is in their group. So this is just a way to say that you want to join us, that you want to commit to being a part of our small groups, which take place on Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. So that's our small groups. Those will start here in a little bit. But we need you to sign up beforehand. If you're like, I didn't sign up, but I want to show up on that night, you're sitting in this room and I'm telling you to sign up, so you would have signed up. But you are still able to show up, but we need you guys to sign up online. We will always direct you to there. So that is also at overflowtheyouth.com. Tell your parents to sign you up. This is just an awesome way for us to know where you're at and what your level of commitment it looks like in past years and the year to come. So sign up. And last but not least, we have our small group launch. Who is excited for small groups to start? I'm so excited. Who has been waiting all of summer? It's been a long summer. Small group launches on September 18th, and that is from 7 to 9 p.m. right here. Well, not right here. We're not going to be in this room, but like out there. But we will be here on September 18th, and this is just a fun night for us to come together and kind of cast a vision for the rest of the year as we kick off our small groups. And I'm excited for all of the discussions that will be happening this year. And this year we're going through, I'll talk a little bit about it later, but we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically one of Jesus's his most famous sermon. But before we go into worship, I'm going to go through some reminders. We realize that going to the bathroom is like actually a real thing. Like, we have to do that every single day. But while we're in here, we only are asking for an hour of your time. So we realize that there are emergencies. That bathroom is necessary at times and not other times. But we just ask that you guys be mindful when you come into this room and you are being attentive to the people that are speaking or worship. We ask that you just don't go to the bathroom during this time. If it's an absolute emergency, for sure do that. But just be mindful of that. And then we will not be getting up and getting water in the middle of sermon. That's something that you can drink before or after. So bathroom before or after, water before or after. We want you to stay hydrated. We want you to be able to go to the bathroom. We just ask for an hour of your time. Bibles. So Bibles are in the back. You guys should have all have one. Does anyone not have a Bible? Great. Oh, that's a bummer. Oh, well, it's in here. I do know that. It's somewhere in here. But if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand, and Courtney will grab you one. But we just ask that you guys bring, we encourage you guys to bring your own Bibles. If you have them, I would like to guess that you have them at home. But we just want that to be a priority for you guys. If you guys have a Bible, you get Overflow Bucks, and Overflow Bucks are awesome. They can't be used at like any other store except for here at Overflow, as you could imagine. But they can buy you stuff for trip. They can like help pay for a trip. You can buy some cool, awesome merch. If you are wanting a cool shirt or a fanny pack, you can buy those. So Overflow Bucks are awesome. If you bring your own Bible or journal, you get an Overflow Buck for each. You just have to come see me and show me that you brought it. And last but not least, we have cereal bar out here, which is awesome. And I already see some cups around. We ask that as you guys leave at the end of service today that you just clean up after yourselves. And that could be the bulletin under your chair or a cup or a spoon or whatever it may be. But yeah, just being mindful of that. And at this time, I would love for us to just stand as we go into worship together, as I invite the worship team up, and just pray into this morning. So would you guys stand with me? Father, Lord, we commit this morning to you. God, we thank you for just each person that's in this room, God, what you've done in bringing them here today. Would you just use this morning to glorify you, God? Teach us a little bit more about you. And would we just, revel in the glory that you are, God. So we give this morning to you, and I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to go into a time of worship. Most of you don't know who I am. My name is Pax. I'm the new youth worship pastor. What we're going to do is go through the song called Creator. And this song specifically speaks volumes to me because it talks about how even the very rocks cry out and proclaim God's name. And it says in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, that the heavens declare his majesty, his righteousness. That's what we're going to be singing about right now. So if you would like to join us, you can go ahead and clap with us, and we're going to get started. Here we go. Give me one second. Sorry.
Only you, God, only you. Sky rejoice, resounding with the sea, declaring majesty. Oh, oh, with all creation we cry out in jubilee. All creation sings hallelujah. We lift our hands and sing glory to the King. We lift our hands and sing. Oh, oh, we lift our hands and sing glory to the King.
Your ways are higher than all of my ways, far beyond what I can see. Your
Father, Lord, for this day. Lord, I pray, Father, that you may give us a wonderful message that Cameron's able to come up and just that you would speak in and through her, Lord, that we may be able to receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, you guys can go ahead and grab a seat. Be able to get the lights on, Jay. Just to make sure. Thank you. Oh, how are you guys doing? Good? Is it a sleepy Sunday? Yeah, I'm getting some nods. I think it might be one of those Sundays. Well, good morning. Welcome to Overflow Junior High Sunday Gathering. It's really good to be with you guys here today. And we are officially kicking off our Sunday mornings in this 2019-2020 school year. How has everyone started school? Yeah? Raise your hand if you have. Has anyone not started school? Okay, we're all in school. How is school going so far? Good? Are you still getting used to saying you're in the grade that you're in? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm in eighth grade. Crazy. Well, junior high, this morning, I kind of just want to go through what our hope is for this year, our vision is for this year, as we get started on Sunday mornings and soon to be Wednesday nights. And the argument that I want to make at first is that junior high is super foundational. This is actually, despite what some people may say, this is a really important time of your life. It is extremely foundational. And that's something that we believe here at Grace, and we see this as a value, that you guys are sitting in this chair right now and that you are here. And so right now, I want us to think about who we want to be in 10 years. So think about the person you're going to be. Maybe think about what you're going to look like. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Think about what you're going to be, who you're going to be in 10 years. What do you want to be known by? So take a moment. What's something that you want to be known by? It could be a character trait or something that you've done or something. Yeah, like what would people say, would you want people to say about you in 10 years? Does anyone have something they want to share? Maybe a thought of like something that just came to mind? Anyone? What do you guys want to be known by? that would be good to be known by your actual name, but like what do you want people to say about Tyler Anderson? You'll pass? Anyone else? What do you guys think? It could be a thing that you've done. Something about you. I know for me, when I was in junior high, I really wanted to be known by someone who people just wanted to be around, that people liked, that somebody, and that could have been like somebody saying that Cameron was kind or friendly, had a lot of friends that, you know, knew and liked her. So that was something that I even thought I wanted to be known by when I was 10 years ago, which actually I think junior high is more than that now, which is crazy. But who you are, my argument is that who you are 10 years from now is actually directly correlated to the person you are today. So in 10 years, when somebody's saying something about Ben or Cameron or Sadie, they are actually talking about the same person, I mean, I'm crazy, that's sitting here right now. The decisions and things that are happening today are actually really correlated to the person that you are in 10 years from now. And it's easy to shove it off and like kind of push it away and be like, well, like that's me in 10 years. I don't have to think about that right now. But the reality is junior high is super important. The things you're doing today are directly correlated. And I started junior high back in 2004. So that was 15 years ago. Crazy. How many... What year were you guys born? Throw up years. For sure. I started junior high before pretty much everyone in this room was born. But as I think about who I am today, I think about how I actually, a lot of the things that I did, the decisions that I made when I was in junior high are so apparent in who I am today. They're connected. And if anyone's wondering what I looked like in junior high, I did you guys a little favor. This is my seventh grade student ID. It's a little blurry. I'm sorry about that. The scanner was not the best. But this is literally like my ID. Some of you guys hold on to it. It's really fun to have later. I keep this in my wallet for whatever reason. I don't know. But my hope is that this year in junior high, we would start laying our foundation for the rest of our lives. That who we become in 5 to 10 years actually starts right now, and that here in junior high overflow, we would be laying that foundation together. Not to put any pressure on you guys, but this is an important time. And when I meet people who have either grown up in the church or starting at a young, like kind of starting at a young age, started going to church, a lot of the stories tend to be really similar to me. It usually goes like, well, I grew up in the church. I accepted Jesus at like 6 years old, Sunday school, or, you know, something like that. And then, but like, I recommitted my life when I was in junior high. And the amount of times that I've heard that story is kind of, it's and what that tells me is that that's the same thing for my story. Like, if somebody asked me, I would say, I accepted Jesus when I was 6 years old, and to my heart I prayed the prayer, and then in junior high, that's actually when I really recommitted my life. I really made that decision. Before we get started, you guys do also have bulletins under, so we will be using those today. So if you guys want, and you're a note person, take those out. If you are not and you think that this is going to be distracting to you, you don't have to use it. I encourage you not to use it if it's a distraction to you. But that is just helpful for you guys as well. So back to my story. I grew up in a Christian home and accepted Jesus at 6 years old. And I was the kid that kind of had all the right answers. Like, I grew up in Sunday school, so like when people ask questions about the Bible or things, I generally would know what the right answers were. And some of you guys might be like, that's me in here today. But it wasn't until I started junior high when I started experiencing real conflict, when I got a little bit more freedom, that my faith became my own. Like, I made the decision to own my faith at that time, because life just looked a little bit different than it did when I was in third, second, fourth grade. And like I said, junior high is really important, and the things that you are going through are real. They're real things, they're big things, they matter. This is an important time of your life. And the reason that I know that this is an important time is that I remember most of my memories growing up came from junior high. Like, if I think back to junior high, or just even all of my like important memories that stick with me, I think of junior high. For example, and I think I've told you this to some of you girls before, but I remember all of my first day of school outfits. I don't know if anyone, how many, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how, I think we all agree that we put a lot of effort into our first day of school outfit. Like, you think about it, or you go shopping, you go and get those new shoes and clothes. I remember all of them. I remember that I sewed my skirt that I wore to my first day of sixth grade. I really liked, I don't know, I made my own skirt. That was really fun. I remember the American Eagle shirt that I wore to seventh grade. I remember the Hollister shirt that I wore for the first day of eighth grade, along with 6 other girls all wearing the same shirt. I was mortified. I became one of those girls like, oh, you have that shirt too? And I'm like, no. Like, I thought I was being unique. I remember walking around the cafeteria, not knowing who to sit with. I remember kind of being ashamed to hang out with one of my friends because I really wanted to be cool. I remember looking at the popular girls in eighth grade and wondering, like, how do they do it? How do they do it? Like, how do they have all those friends? How do they just effortlessly do what they do? I remember one of my friends telling me one day that she really loved starting drama because she thought it was like her idea of fun. She thought it was like fun to have drama. Like, the lack of drama was not fun for her. And I remember in eighth grade having to switch junior highs because of how emotionally bullied I felt by that friend. Shocking, I know. But I remember like all of those moments clearly in my head. But one of my most vivid memories came with a conversation with my mom. My mom's name is Rhonda, which is such a fun mom name. And she is awesome. She's so loving. She's so fun. But this one particular conversation just kind of stuck with me. And I remember I was telling her something about my day or something with a friend, and I was really distraught and I was really upset. And I remember my mom just kind of dismissing it as if it was something that was really small and that, like, didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And while that's true, because I can't even remember what I was saying, like, I think if it did matter in the big grand scheme of things, I would have maybe remembered what it was about. I can't remember that. So it might have been true, but in that moment when I was telling her what was going on, that was really real for me. That affected the way I walked into school, that affected the way that I talked to my friends, it was an emotional thing for me, and it was real. And all I wanted was that for my mom to acknowledge that. I wanted her to say, to understand that what I was going through was a big deal for me. Like, showing up to school was really hard. And in that moment, I remember vowing, I was like, and I still remember this to this day, but I remember saying to myself that I never want another junior higher to think the way that I'm thinking right now. I want them to know that what they're going through is real, what they're going through is important. And I remember thinking into the future, like, when I'm an adult, I'm going to talk to junior hires and tell them that. So that's literally me right now saying that what you guys are going through right now is really important. Even when it feels like adults are dismissing it or shoving it off, the experiences you guys are having right now are really important, and they're real. And they will matter in the grand scheme of things. And the reason that they're important and they're a big deal is not because you're going to have that one skateboard that you really want for the rest of your life. It's not because your best friend for life is going to be your best friend forever. They might not be. And you might not have those things. You most likely won't have those things forever. But what is not physically permanent, this is more foundationally, like emotionally and spiritually foundational for you. And this is the time in junior high where you get to make decisions for yourself. You get to forgive when it's hard. And you get to pursue a relationship with God, not because your parents are telling you to, but because you want to. And you can make that, like I said earlier, make your faith your own. And junior high was not easy for me. In a lot of ways, I'm not trying to scare you guys at all. One of my friends, Casey, says that it was her. She like peaked in junior high. She had the most fun in junior high. For me, it was really hard. But for me, I wouldn't have traded those years for the world. There were some really amazing years for me that set me up for the rest of my life. And I was just talking to one of the ninth grade girls who's going into ninth grade, or she's in ninth grade officially. And I was asking her how her like first week of school went. And one of the things that she kept bringing up is that she was like amazed at the amount of freedom she has. So in high school, most high schools, you're able to go off campus for lunch, which is crazy. Can you guys think about instead of sitting in the cafeteria, you like going to like a Taco Bell, you know? Wouldn't that be so awesome? So in high school, get ready, it's coming. You get to do that. And you get a little bit more freedom. And I was thinking, like, as you grow in maturity, as you grow in life experience, your freedom at different intervals there's a little bit more. So I think of from elementary school to junior high, we have a little bit more freedom, right? Like, your parents don't have to, like, they can drop you off at the mall and you can hang out with your friends, or they drop you off at the beach and you can hang out. Like, there's a certain amount of freedom that you gain when you go to junior high, and then there's another certain amount of freedom that you gain when you go into high school, and then there's a ton of freedom that you gain when you go to college, even though there's still a lot that you don't do. And then in graduating college, you get all the freedom that you didn't want anymore, and you just want to go back to elementary school currently in that season. But at each stage of your life, you get a little bit more freedom. And the decisions that we make in the midst of that freedom, so the freedom that we're given when we get it, the decisions that we make in the middle of that freedom are a direct window into what is the person that we are. So the decisions I'm making tell me something about who I am and what I value. And we can make wise decisions, we can make foolish decisions, but these decisions tell us something about who we are. And I, just a couple weeks ago, went to a memorial service, which is basically, it's not a funeral, but it's a kind of celebration of someone's life here on earth. And I went to a memorial service of a boy that just died at, I think he was 18. And he was given this awesome freedom going to college and was able to experience this freedom. And he made some decisions that ultimately ended up costing him his life. He didn't make wise decisions. And that tells me something about what he valued and what he found important, because he didn't use that freedom to make wise decisions, which is extremely unfortunate. And so junior high, as I look back, and my argument is that the decision that he made that ultimately ended up costing him his life is actually very tied to the person that he was in junior high. The things that he did, the things that he valued, the decisions he made in junior high were really actually formative into the decision that ultimately ended his life. On junior high, as I look at junior high, this is a transitional stage between childhood and adulthood. We're not children of, you know, we're not young kids anymore. We're not adults yet, but this is a transitional stage that is actually super important. Like I keep saying, it's foundational. And while you might not have the ability to make all the decisions that you want to on your own right now, you will one day. Like I'm telling you right now, you will. You will get to decide what kind of car you want to drive. You will get to decide what kind of, I don't know, I guess you can kind of decide the shoes that you want to buy, but you will get to decide certain things about your life one day. Right now, your parents are probably a big part of that decision-making process at the moment, but you will one day. And this is the time that you get to decide the kind of person that you want to be. So when you do get that freedom, you know why you're making the decisions that you are making. So when that freedom comes, you know who you are based off of this foundation that you're building right now. So I'm excited for you guys sitting here right now, not because we get to, you know, come and teach or whatever it may be, but because we get to come alongside you. And when I say we, I mean small group leaders, I mean myself and Trevor and the leadership around you and each other, our peers. We get to come alongside you and journey with you in who we're becoming. The foundation that we're laying, we get to be a part of that and discovering God's truth for our lives together. So as I think about this next year in junior high, my ultimate hope is that we would learn to treasure God above all other things. To treasure God first and foremost above all other things. So right now, everyone has a Bible, or should have a Bible. Go ahead and pull that out, and we're going to open to Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. It is, there's a really cool thing called the table of contents in the beginning of the Bible. Use it. It's really helpful. It's a very helpful tool. This is the first book in the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible. So go to that kind of second part. Just look up at me when you get there. Share Bibles with people around you. Matthew 6:21. Would I be able to get a volunteer to stand up for me and read it? Oh, Declan, yes. When everyone gets there, I'm going to have you stand up. Matthew 6:21, are you there?
Yeah.
Did somebody rip out that page? All right, Declan's going to read it for us. Do we got it? 6:21. All right. You got it, Declan?
Yeah.
Go ahead and stand up for us. And
that
it should be one verse, yeah. Starting with, do not store. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and stand. Follow along with Declan as he reads for us.
For where your treasure is, there
so
your heart will be also.
Can you start in 19? So sorry. 19 to 21. Thank you. So, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love when it says that. Today on our name tags, we answered the question, what's one thing that you treasure? Can I get some answers of what you guys said?
I said Courtney.
Oh, Emma treasures Courtney. I wish she was still in here to hear that. She's not here anymore. What else? What else do we treasure? I know that we have answers because I see them right now. Tyler?
Food.
Yes, I also treasure food. Very important. Sadie.
My family.
Family. Mm-hmm. Gavin.
The beach.
The beach. Jordan.
My doge.
Your dog. Got it. Cameron.
My friends.
Friends. Josiah. I'm back. Books. Ooh, that's a cool treasure. I do treasure books. Declan.
Water polo.
And last one, closing us out. Chick-fil-A. Oh, wait, one more. Boston. Donuts. Wow. I'm sensing a food theme here, which I also do very much treasure food. But when I ask you if you treasure something, what that tells me is that whatever it is, good Porter, whatever it is it's very important. This is an important thing to you. It has a presence in your life. Like Boston, I'd imagine that you eat donuts fairly often. Like if you treasure donuts, you probably eat them often. If you treasure water polo, you play it often. The beach, you go to the beach often. Like these are family. We spend a lot of time with our family. This means that you has a presence in your life. It's important, and you probably know a lot about it, right? Yeah. So those things. Yeah. I mean, you can always learn. So right now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna I'm going to read from Colossians 3, 2 through 4. You guys can flip there if you want, but I'm going to read for us. In Colossians 3, 2 through 4 reads, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." I love one of those last things that it says when Christ, who is your life, doesn't say it's a part of your life or in Christ who's like in your life. It says when Christ, who is your life, is like an equal sign in math. It means it is the same thing. This formula or this question equals this answer. When Christ, who is your life, it also says hidden with Christ in God. And this verse really tells me that God desires that we treasure him above all other things. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God is saying, I want your life to be Christ, to be the same. So in my argument is that when our faith and our treasure is built on anything other than God, that person, that place, that thing will fail you. Like those things that we wrote on our name tag, they're important for us. But if that takes the place of God in your life, water polo will fail you. Donuts will definitely fail you. Chick-fil-A, as great as it is, will fail you. You know, like you can't make an entire life based off of Chick-fil-A, although some people probably do. But while I wish that I had done this well in junior high and really making God my treasure above all other things, it's really hard to do that with sports and family and friends and donuts and food, all of it. It's really hard to do, but it's not impossible. So this year, we're discovering how do we do that? How do we treasure God above all other things? So how do we do that? And my argument is that it is by having an intimate relationship with God. Having an intimate relationship with God. Does anyone know, can anyone define like a relationship for me? Tyler, what do you think it means to have a relationship with? It's having, yeah, totally. There's so many forms of relationship, but it means that there's a person or thing that it has importance of you, importance in your life. So in order to treasure God above all other things, we have to have an intimate relationship with God. Right now, I'm going to have you guys flip over a few pages to John 10. So it's a little bit to the right of Matthew. But John 10, this is one of my favorite books or chapters in the Bible, of all the entire Bible. John 10. And I'm going to be reading from verse 3 on. But I really want you guys to follow along with me because I think this is a super sweet passage that tells us a lot about God and his heart for us. I'm going to ask you guys to do so silently, just as you flip there. go ahead and just look up when you're there. I'm going to start reading for us, but follow along as I read. All right. John 10, verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So how do we have an intimate relationship with God? How do we do this? We have to know who God is. We have to intimately know who he is and have that relationship with him. And just a couple days ago, we were doing some trainings and meeting together as our leaders, all of your small group leaders. We were all meeting together and just talking about our hope for this year and our goal for this year and just small groups and what that's going to look like this year. And one of the small group leader, or two of the small group leaders, are our 10th grade leaders, Jen and Andrew Jansen. Some of you guys know them. Some of you have no idea who I'm talking about right now. But they are 10th grade girls and 10th grade boys, small group leaders. And they just had a baby, and I meant to put a picture up here to show you guys how cute she is, but she's very distracting, so it probably would have just been distracting. But just take my word for it, she's really cute. She's 7 weeks old, and she's tiny. And while we were sitting in the training, she still has to be with her parents because she's obviously extremely reliant on her parents. But we were sitting there talking, and every now and then you would hear Nora start crying or, like, fussing. And then Jen would either feed her or change her. And I went back in the end of the training, and I saw four diapers in the matter of, like, an hour and a half. They had changed her diaper four times, which is crazy. So you think you have to go to the bathroom sometimes. Babies go way more than you. But Jen, basically, as we were talking after, one of the other leaders asked, like, so do you know the difference between, like, what her cries mean? Like, a cry for hunger, a cry for just being tired or uncomfortable, a cry because she needs her diaper changed. And they were like, oh, yeah, you totally get it. Like, you hear these different types of cries, and you know exactly what it is after only living with her for 7 weeks. And that's because they intimately know Nora. They know her different cries because they spend all day and all night changing her, feeding her, making sure that she's safe, making sure that she's comfortable. They intimately know. They're in intimate relationship with Nora, and Nora is in intimate relationship with them. Just like when Nora's crying, I didn't hold her because I was scared that she would cry in my arms. But if I was holding her, and she's crying, and I saw this happen with some of our leaders, and she's crying and crying. As soon as you pass her off to her mom or dad, it's almost like an instant, like, change. She stops crying. They start talking to her, whispering to her, and she knows their voice. Even at 7 weeks old, she knows their voice, which is so crazy. And just like Nora knows her parents' voice, and her parents know her cries and her just little idiosyncrasies and when she needs to get her diaper changed, so must also we know God's voice. We must know his voice, and we know that he knows us. He knows our needs, just like Jen and Andrew know Nora's needs. But we need to know God's voice. So we need to be in intimate relationship with him. But how do we do that? How do we hear his voice? How do we just even know who he is? And that's kind of our heart for Overflow. Like, in Overflow, it's answering that question. How do we have intimate relationship with God? That's what we're doing this year. So in Overflow, we desire to know what is truth, to know why it's true, and how to live in light of that truth through scripture and prayer. That's what we're doing here in Overflow on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We desire to know what is true, why it's true, and how to live in light of the truth. The reality is that God is truth, and when we know these things and know how, what and why and how to live in truth, then we will hear his voice. It's not a you might hear his voice. You will hear his voice when we can do those things together. And that's our heart for Overflow, that we would do that. The vision for this year in Overflow Sunday mornings is essentially to do these things, to be able to walk away from this year and say, I know what is true. I know why it is, and I know how to live. Does that mean I'm going to do it perfectly? No, it does not mean that. But it's getting us one step closer to building that foundation for that person in 10 years. So this year in Sunday mornings, we're going to be going through, we're going to start this year next week. Who's Spencer? Do we have any Spencer Lawrence boys in here? Yep. Give it up for Spencer. So Spencer's going to be taking us through Genesis. Oh, yeah, Spencer. All right. Thank you, Brandon, for that. Spencer is going to be taking us through Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. It talks about the creation. So this is telling us everything that, basically everything about God as creator. It's telling us God and then who we are in relation to him. That's building our foundation for the year. So we're going to spend a ton of time. We're going to spend 7 weeks in Genesis. And then we're going to be moving into Mark. Mark is one of the Gospels. The Gospels are the story of Jesus. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've already read from two of them this morning. But we're going to be going through the book of Mark. And that's the story of Jesus. That's the story of the Gospel. That is like the pinnacle of our faith, the truth of Jesus, and who he is and how he has saved us from a fallen life that we see in Genesis to our Savior. So that's a big part of our story. And then we're going to be closing out the year in Acts. And Acts is basically, it's the first book after the Gospels, and it's about the early church. And when I say church, I mean just followers of Jesus and how it was built. And so we're going to be going through Acts and seeing, like, what does it look like to live out of the truth that Jesus died and saved us from our sins? So that's our year, Genesis, Mark, and Acts. It's crazy to say it right now, but at the end of the year, we're going to have gone through all of those things and kind of just getting us closer to having intimate relationship with God. And also on Wednesday nights, we are going through one of Jesus's, I said this earlier, but we're going through one of Jesus's most famous sermons called the Sermon on the Mount. And he just goes through a lot of different parts of Christian, of living a life for God. And living an intimate relationship with God. And Jesus is at the core of what we do and why we believe, what we believe as Christians. So his words are really important to listen to. So join us on Wednesday nights. We're going to discuss them. We're going to talk about them. And we're going to discover truth together as we do that. So that's our Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights for this year are all pointing us to hearing God's voice, having intimate relationship with him. So now to recap. Today we acknowledge that junior high is foundational. We talked about how it's important. I'm telling you that because I remember so much about junior high, and who I am today is very informed by who I was in junior high. We acknowledge that our goal here in Overflow at Grace Fellowship Church is to treasure God above all other things, to make him number one in our life over all of those other fun treasures that we have. And we acknowledge that we do this by having intimate relationship with God, being close to God and hearing his voice and spending time with him. So as we seek to treasure God above all other things in this foundational time of life by having intimate relationship with him, my encouragement is to commit. Commit. Commit to knowing God and spending time with him. In scripture, in prayer, spend time with him. Commit to showing up to Overflow on Sunday mornings right here. Commit to showing up on Wednesday nights with your small group. Commit to making decisions for the person that you want to be in 10 years, making decisions today for that person. They will thank you one day. Commit to serving and plugging in. So earlier we talked about hospitality team. We talked about D groups. You can volunteer with children's ministry. You can join our worship team or apply to our worship team. There's so many ways to commit and so many ways to get plugged in. So commit to plugging in and serving. As I look back on my time in junior high, I wish I would have known that when I was back then. I wish I would have known what I know now, that my life today was actually a really big reflection of my junior high years. I didn't know that then. I didn't know that who I am at 25 was going to be really shaped by the person I was at 11, 12, 13, 14. So I think as we think about the person we want to be in 10 years, What do you want to be known by? Maybe it's just you only want to be known by your name. But think about that person and ask yourself, what decisions or commitments do I have to make today in order to be that person? What decisions or commitments do I need to make today in order to be that person in 10 years? So as I invite the worship team up, I'm going to close us in a prayer together. But my goal for you guys is not that you guys would somehow think that, like, oh, no, I have to be really serious and I have to do, you know, I can't have any fun now. I have to make all these decisions or commitments or whatever. That's not our heart for you guys. Like, yes, be mindful of who you are going to be. But first and foremost, we desire treasuring God above all things. So let him be number one in your life. And we are here to do this alongside you guys. And you're not alone. You have your small group leaders. You have me. You have Trevor. You have people around you. So you're not alone in that. So let's close in prayer. Father, we acknowledge that you are our treasure, God. That you, our life is so much better when you are at the head of it, God, when you are number one. Lord, I pray over this, a blessing over this year in junior high. Would you just assert yourself as our ultimate treasure, God? Would we enter into intimate relationship with you as we seek to hear your voice, God? Lord, I pray just a blessing, over this year. Would you teach us more about you? We thank you for just who you are and how you've created us, God, and that you've sent your son, Jesus, to save us, Lord. We offer this to you this morning, God, and pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, just at this moment, we're going to go into a time of worship. The song we're going to go into is called Do It Again. If you don't know the song, the lyrics should be up on the screen. And just during this time, I'm going to actually ask for this response time that you guys stay seated, but that you also kind of take in a little bit of what the lyrics are talking about. Earlier you heard me kind of talk a little bit about how the song Creator is kind of a big song. We see God's handiwork in everything. And I want to just challenge you to kind of listen carefully to these lyrics. And if you need to close your eyes, feel free to do that. This is a safe place where we're able to worship. So feel free to do that, okay?